This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 629, recorded on November 21st, 2024. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a chilly Bellevue, Nebraska. A little bit colder. I think we're below the 50s now, 50 Fahrenheit for the next foreseeable future. I don't know. Maybe it'll get warm again. Maybe not. It's good. It's good hoodie weather. Of course, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes. And I'll have a few show notes this week. I'll have a few because we're going to talk about a few links. I'll bring those up on screen as well. Out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers for you. You know who you are. You do that every single month. We've got a single $5 plan if you want to jump on the team. Many of you have, and I appreciate that. Allows me to do some tech things that I do, kind of like what I talked about tonight. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon if you want to join that team. Then a big thank you for those using the Amazon affiliate link that's posted on the page. If you go to theaverageguy.tv, upper right-hand corner, it'll say, I forget what the phrase is, but it's red lettering, and it says something about benefiting from an Amazon affiliate link. If you click through on that link, it'll take you to Amazon. Just shop. That's all you need to do. It's Christmas time. Just saying. If you want to support the network, you can do that as well. Many of you are doing that. Check it out today. Big thanks to Gavin Campbell for joining me 2 weeks ago. I took last week off, but it was good to have Gavin on. He's always a good guest. We talked a lot about Home Assistant. I've done a few things with my Home Assistant since then, but Gavin, thanks for coming on. Appreciate that. All right, got a bunch of news, and I'm not even going to lead with the Mac Mini. I know, crazy, right? So next week, I do want to say next week, Sammy will join me for our Friday episode for her Friday episode. It's kind of been an annual event for the last couple years. So she'll join me. We're Friday night, same time. So Friday night, 8 p.m. Central. If you're listening to the recording on this, come out and join us. We'd love to have you. It's Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States. We do a big shindig on Thursday, and then it's kind of been the tradition the last couple of years. She has a lot to update you on, including this, and we'll spend some time talking about that. But she, this over here, yes, the 06, she's fine, by the way. She is fine. The 06 Honda RIP. It is gone. She got into an accident on Friday night and took out the barrier there that you're seeing. There's a cone barrier. There's a cone, actually. You can kind of see the cone up underneath there. Let me see if I can. No, I'll just leave it this configuration. There's a cone up in the center spot, and then she ran over a traffic thing. I don't know what they call those things. But she is fine. The car did its job. It airbags deployed front and side. She is fine. The car is not. I want to be real clear though. There's that rust spot on the hood. Perfectly fine. The rust spot. You see. I wish I could point to it over there. You can see it. Here's another shot. There's another shot of it. The impact of the car. We looked it up again. It's an 06 Civic Hybrid. They I guess that car that year won some kind of safety award, and it sure did its job. So crumpled in from the side. We ended up tearing off the bumper and putting it in the back seat as they towed it back to the house. Then on Monday, oh, there you can kind of see the cone underneath the license plate there. The cone, then we towed it back to the house, and insurance took that away on Monday. They came and took that. Like I said, she's fine. No injuries. A little bit of bruising. Bruised her shoulder. Bruised her abdomen. Seatbelt kept her in. Car did exactly what it should have done, which was super cool. And airbags took care of her. The driver's seat was protected. She rode along the the barrier there for a while. She'll talk more about it next week. We'll get from her impression. When I got in the car, she got in a Diet Coke and it was everywhere. It had just exploded all over the car. The whole thing was wet. I was like, why is your car so wet? She was like, because I had a brand new Diet Coke that she didn't get a single drink out of. So her mom took her to the ER and just got her checked out. She's fine. So she's recovering. We're thinking about a new car. I'm sure you're going to hear more about that on Friday. So her and I have been going through. I told her her job is to get a good grasp on vehicles and what they are and what they do. I've got her understanding transmissions and engines and mileage and what does that mean, and being able to read kind of all the stuff that's about it. It's going to be a good education for her. So we're going to turn it into a good learning opportunity. So she'll be here. Ken, I didn't take your message down. She'll be here on next Friday. Talk about it, and she'll be fine. So, yeah, Brian, appreciate that. No injuries and, bruising and some, I've never had an airbag deploy on me before, and I hear it's fairly jolting, so to speak. And, Randy, it was a Diet Coke got all over. It was dripping everywhere. It was crazy. So, Justin, I did think about getting her a scooter, but I don't think that'll work here in Nebraska. So she's getting good at, we've already gotten a couple days worth of car looking. And so it's Kevin, no Cybertruck on the list for her. No, I think we'll put her back in a fairly, 6 to 8 year old sedan of some kind. So I don't want to spoil it. We'll talk about it more on Friday when she comes in here and talk about it. So we were glad she is fine. The Honda's gone. That car, 250,000 miles, something like that, 250,000, and it'd been a good car. I've taken it to several meetups. Paul Breran had a version of it. Same year, same car. He's since moved on. He got a Tesla. We called it the Champ Junior is what we called it. It is gone. So she is fine and all is well, but we'll be getting a new car for her soon. Okay. With the Mac Mini M4 coming out, this is not a review, by the way. I haven't had it long enough to even talk about that, but wanted to bring you guys in. I ordered it. I thought about ordering it as soon as it came out. You can kind of see, well, I'll talk about that here in a second. Talked with Ed about it actually last week, and then I went a whole week, just kind of let it sit there. I think last week sometime, I pulled the trigger and they were like, it'll be available today. It was supposed to come today, and it actually came on Monday. So they over-deliver a little bit. I think they pad those numbers pretty good. It came pretty fast. Delivered on Monday. I actually let it sit overnight. Monday had been a hard day. So I let it sit overnight. Picked it up Tuesday evening, pulled it out of the box, put it together. There's not a lot to it, but there's some switchover stuff that has to happen. So pulled it out, got it situated, got it power, plugged in the monitor to it. Fired it up. I knew I was going to sync it with my Time Machine. So, got things switched over, set up two monitors so I can have both going at the same time. Shut the old one down, restored the image from Time Machine, just puts the apps and stuff back on it. Still, it had an update. It had the AI their Apple Intelligence, right? It still had their Apple Intelligence update, Sonora, whatever that is, 15.1.1, hadn't been loaded on it yet. So I didn't load it right away. And it took about a couple hours to run the Time Machine back up on it. And then I had it up and running. And there's been probably another hour of configuring things, right? You got to configure your browsers and log back into some things and, all those things you got to get set up, get your password manager open back up again and working and some of those kinds of things. But, in a night, had it up and running and connected all the audio to it, did some testing. This is, I'm on it right now. It's plugged into the monitor, working out pretty well. I haven't done any of the Apple Intelligence stuff yet. I'm going to, I did purchase the version with 32 gigs of RAM. So I went with the standard, you know, half a terabyte of storage. That's what I had on the old M1. And I had half a terabyte of storage and I want to say 16 gig of RAM. The standard configuration is 16 now. And I think I had gone with the more RAM when I bought the M1. But I knew I was going to run. I'm definitely going to run some LLMs, some GPT stuff on it. I thought it'd be nice just to have the extra Sequoia. Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Tony. Sequoia. I couldn't remember what that was. So I got the 32 gig. End up paying a little bit more for that. But the trade-in on the M1 kind of covered the upgrade. So it was, in my opinion, pretty reasonable. You know, it's Mac. So you're paying a little bit of the Apple tax. But it's not terrible on the minis. Not terrible at all. And so, Joe, good to see you. Thanks for checking in. It had been 3 years, although I think 3 years, I think I bought it in 2020. Well, no, it had been 3 years. Yeah, I bought it in February of 2021. So it'd been 3 years and some change. Is that right? Doesn't seem possible. But it is crazy enough. A good machine. I, to be honest with you, I might even have considered if they didn't give me the trade-in on it, I probably would have kept it, but I don't really need two Macs at this point. So, it's going to go back. Here's the box. You know, this has been if you haven't seen these yet, I can't show you the machine cause I'm using it, but here's the original M1 box, right? And then here's the new Mac mini box. And it looks like a Nook. Same size, a little taller, actually. Just a little bit taller, but very similar to the Intel NUCs, the silver NUCs that we had for, you know, 10 years ago that came out. Right now I have the M1 on the bottom and the M4 stacked on top of it. It's, you know, 2/3 of the size, width and back wise. It's really, you know, no USB-A ports on it, though. It's only USB-C. And so I've got a little bit, you know, right now the camera and the backup drive are all USB, you know, the original USB ports. And so I've had to, I have a docking station that I use to make it work, but got me thinking kind of like, okay, I guess now as I replace equipment, it's all going to be USB-C. And I think it's going that way anyways. Justin says in chat, he says, actually the Apple tax isn't really too bad when you compare it, looking at the M4 Max Pro, MacBook Pro, and the Framework Razor all came out about the same. Yeah. I told myself way back when the M4 came out, I wasn't going to think too much about it. You know, I'm a little, sometimes a little cheap. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to think about this one. When the M4 comes out, I'm just going to purchase that. You can order when you go to trade it in, they send you the box to trade it in, which is kind of cool. So because the M1's bigger, it can't send it back in the original box. So you get a little bit bigger prepaid. It'll go back. I'm going to use it probably through the weekend and send it back on Monday. And just make sure I got everything transferred on it before I send it on its way. It really was seamless to get it set up. Maybe not, you know, when you do the phones now and you put one phone by the other and they just magically do some stuff. There is, you know, the setup from Time Machine, very efficient, easy to do. I got a question for you. The M1 had been on a rack, kind of away from off the desk and away. Not because it was so big. It could probably sit. Now that I've got it sitting on the desk, I don't know why I didn't leave it on the desk. It looks beautiful. You can display it. It was in the rack. I've got it on the desk. Do I leave the M4, which is smaller, a lot smaller, Do I leave it on the desk or do I put it back? Do I put it in the rack, put it away where you can't see it? I don't know. What are your thoughts? Throw that in chat. Throw it in the comments on YouTube there. What do you think? You think I should have it out where I can see it? It's kind of nice. I got the plugs. They're right there. It'll sit on the desk. It'll look good. One of the big hangups that a lot of folks have been talking about on this, and I think Justin might have mentioned it earlier on this, it's gotten a lot of traction that the power button is on the bottom. Now, not really on the bottom. There's a round, you know, it sits kind of on a round pedestal, and the pedestal kind of goes up, and then the power button's there. If you want to get to the power button, you got to kind of lift, you got to go around the box, lift it up, and get to it. Like, it's not up front. It's not on the side on the Mac Mini M1. It's on the back corner. I'll admit, though, I and Kevin, I'll talk about McCabe stuff here in just a second. I've hit that power button on the M1 several times. It's on the back corner. You're reaching back there to maybe plug something in or do something, and you hit that power button by mistake. When I was setting up the M4, there was a couple times I was lifting it up because I was moving cables, and I hit it. So I don't know. Listen, I've hit the power buttons on the front of things before. You know, you kind of go, I don't know about the power button. I'll show McCabe's got some solutions for it already. Wow. Good on him for getting that figured out. It's pretty awesome. So I'll show those here in just a second. Brian's checking in. Hey, Brian, good to see you. And like Kevin said, he put these in our Discord group. If you want to join the Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. He put the links to this. I'll have the links in the show notes. I'll show those here in just a second. Ken says, put it on the desk. That's the first vote for the desk. And Joe says that no USB port seems a little short-sighted. I kind of agree. I'd like to have had at least one for the backup drive, but there's none. There's USB-C, right? Thunderbolt 4 in there. I need to look. There's two on the front, three in the back. I need to see if they're all the same. Joe doesn't like it. He says, terrible design, just a terrible design. I don't mind it. We'll see. It's going to sit on my desk. I kind of like it. Well, I don't know. Ken said he voted for the desk. What do you guys vote for? I think I'm going to put it on the desk. I can kind of keep the dust off of it and that kind of stuff. Let's see what else. I did have to reset up my watch so it would log in. With that, no, I some issues. No USB, no regular USB. There, you're going to probably need a hub if you've got a bunch of regular USB ones. Not that worried about the power button. Excuse me. When I'm by myself, I talk, and then I don't get a break to drink water. So, let me show you. Let me show you what McCabe's doing. This is kind of cool. So we'll bring these up here. So on his Etsy page, and I will, I'll throw a link to it in the, let me just bring these up full screen here so you can see those. So because of the power button, you see the finger down here. So this is the pedestal version of what he's making there. So you can kind of see the mini and the design. He's got it on a pedestal. Three sides are closed, same size. It sits in a little well. And then on the side where the power button is, you can see, and there you can see the ports, power, Ethernet, HDMI, and three Thunderbolt 4. I think those are all Thunderbolt 4 ports. On the back, you can see where the power button is. So it's kind of a solution. He's got it available in a bunch of different colors if you want to do it that way. That's one version of it. And then he's got a stand-up version of it as well. And so it is a, in this case, put it up on its side. It leaves that open, an open jack up front. And then as you see in the back, it allows you the way it's sitting then. And then you get a good look at the bottom of it there. You can see the cooling's on the bottom, right? The way to let that heat out of there is on the bottom. And then, there's a good shot. There's a shot of the power button on there. It's a little questionable right there. Why there? I don't know. Now, I'll be honest. I almost never turn the thing off. I just don't touch it. So it doesn't, for me, I'm not too worried about the power button at all. I guess when I have to reboot it for whatever reason or turn it back on, but I just don't, there's a good look at the back of it. I think that's standard gig. I don't think that's a 2.5, Ken. I think that's a standard gig. Head out to, if you want to see all the specs, head out to the Apple site, the Apple Mini site for it. I don't have 2.5. I don't have 5. I don't have 10. So for me, it's fine. If it is more, that's okay too. I guess I could look it up. I haven't really, didn't really worry about that part from a networking standpoint. So you can kind of see there everything plugged in the setup. So those links to Dave's Etsy store, if you're interested in doing that, are out there. It's super reasonable. The pedestal stand's $20 and the upright, what are we calling this? Vertical stand is $10. 11, let's say. So pretty cool. You can, if you want to check that out, you can do that as well. Yeah, Brian says on that point, how often would one have to press the power button? And I don't, like I said, I just don't. It might benefit you just to get a docking station anyway. So if you got a bunch of regular USB, that's what I've got, a USB-C to the A versions that are there for those kinds of things, like the sound, you know, the M2, the Motu M2 that I use for audio, the Logitech camera Brio that I use. Those are plugged in that way. I think I've got a little 10 port USB for some, the watch, you know, it's powered, so the watch goes in there, and you know, keyboard plugs in there. So that's the way I do it. Not as elegant that way. And they're assuming when you take it out of the box, they're assuming you have a wireless or a USB-C keyboard. That's pretty obvious, and a wireless or USB wireless. Because most of the Logitech mice and keyboards that are wireless come with that, guess what, USB adapter that's not USB-C. And I imagine maybe some of the new ones, I am sure some of the new ones coming out will be having that. Now they've got those adapters, you can make all that stuff work. So you figure it out for you if you're going to do it. But so far so good. Brian, awesome. So Brian says it's a 1 gig, but 10 gigs available. It's one of the upgrades. You get more storage too. Randy had actually said that first. So thanks, Randy. You can get 1 or 10 in there if you want to pay. Tony had said in chat early on, you know, pretty good base price. The upgrades are a little steep, and that's probably true. That part's probably true. You know, you don't, the extra stuff is, it's a little pricey for what you get. Ken saying you could do Bluetooth, and that is true. You could do Bluetooth on your stuff if you want to set those up. You can set up that Bluetooth right at setup when you're going in. So you decide. I think it's a good little machine. I've been real happy with the one. Like I said, I'll run it over the weekend and take it down, reformat it back to the factory and put it in the box and mail it from work on Monday, and off we go. I took the interest free for a year. It just is easy on the card. Spread it out over the year, and that worked out real well. So we'll be moving forward with that. I think a pretty good podcasting machine, although the M1 was a really good podcasting machine. It'll be interesting to see this weekend when I produce this show and I do the video edits for it. It'll be interesting to see just how much faster it is. We'll have to see. I don't know. I didn't need it that much faster. I'll be honest. I just kind of wanted to, I actually like the form factor of this better than I like the bigger, flatter one. It's my opinion on that. And Sarah's over there going to make a bunch of noise. I hear you rolling that thing. So yeah, she's getting, then she's going to make a bunch of noise. So check that out. If you're interested, if you want to talk about it in the Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. And we, I like it. I like it so far. We'll see how it goes and everything is set up. Okay. We, also, Brian, before I move on, Brian said, wanted a toy. Well, it's nice. It was time to upgrade it. And yeah, I did. Tony did check in, John. He is here as well. Couple things. One of the things we had, this summer when we had that power outage, I've been changing over the service for the generator from a 30 to a 50 amp service. That's nearly done. I'm down now to the disconnect for the, they call it an interlock kit. That's going to go on the breaker panel and the wiring to go. I have to move a few breakers around and then rewire it. I got to take the house power down for the day, or at least for an hour or two that I'm doing. I'll probably actually plug in the generator, run it in through the old service and run an extension cord over here so that I can get lights going while I'm changing it over and some of those kinds of things. It's always good to run. It's a gasoline powered generator. So it's always pretty good to run that from time to time, just to keep it running. But, couple little cool, electrical gadgets that I've been using that have been very, I think handy. And, you know, a lot of folks kind of have been telling me, well, I couldn't do any wiring. And if you can't do any wiring, I don't. if you say that I can't do it, don't. I've got some military training in wiring and done a bunch of it since then. And it's not something you want to mess around with if you're not doing it. But if you do, a couple cool tools for me that I have that I've been using over the last last couple of years on this that I think are necessary. One, I use this, and this is from Menards, but you can find these anywhere, and any kind of different brand is fine. But the Circuit Alert is the brand on it. It's a voltage sensing. You can see on the handle there's actually a detachable, there's this piece that comes off, and you've seen these before. You push the button and a little red light will appear. You can hear it kind of beep. And I don't have anything electric. I mean, everything's electrical. But when you push the button and you get it near a live wire, the thing will start beeping at you. Kind of nice to check as you're doing wiring. It's a good idea. Even though you think maybe you turned off the breaker or, oh, no, that's not energized. Good to have one of these. There's a million different kinds of versions of this. But one of those, I liked it because it goes right inside the handle of the wire strippers, and it's always available. You put it there, keep it there, make sure you have it. I showed this on the page, $22 for this version of it. You can certainly buy more expensive, $25, let's say. You can definitely buy more expensive wire strippers. If I was doing it as a job, there are way better versions that actually strip the wires easier. And, you know, you're paying $65, $70 for something like that, but or more. But for my residential stuff, these work just fine. What's interesting is you start watching some videos on YouTube from electricians, and like I always kind of wonder, what are all these holes for? Like these holes around here and these things. They explain those to you. Some of these, I'm still like, oh, that's what that's for. All right. That makes kind of sense. So good to get familiar with all the functionality of it as well. I kind of use it like a blunt force object sometimes, when I'm doing wiring. I could probably be, like these little holes here, they're really good for curling. You know, if you're going to curl a wire, so you're going to put it around the screw, those right there are good for doing that. So check that out. It's Good little tool to have. You want to hear that sound, or you don't want to hear that sound when you're checking for power on those. Again, I'm not an electrician. I'm not teaching you how to be an electrician, but a good, this is one, it's been very, very helpful. One of the other things I bought, and again, I bought this to replace a multimeter that I had bought like 1,000 years ago, and it just was time, and I didn't mean I had to buy something too expensive, but I ended up buying this Astro AI digital clamp meter that you're seeing on screen now. Bought this last year, 2030. It checks, you know, AC, DC, and current. The nice thing about this, at least for me, has been when I want to check a wire and I want to see with the generator work that I was doing, I kind of wanted to see what the draw on some of these things was. So I'm messing with the air conditioner. I wanted to see what some of the amperage on these were. This, of course, has a clamp that opens up so you can clamp it around a wire. And so kind of handy to have. You can do all the standard checks that are on there. It also has a mode you can turn it to all the way to the bottom where you can check to see if a line is live. You can plug it into a plug or any of those kinds of things. So pretty handy. $20. Not a bad deal. I'll show that again on screen. Not a bad idea to have one of these available if you're going to do any kind of that wiring. Doesn't have to be expensive. They've got, you know, they range from, you know, $20 to $500 on these. So make sure you do your research on that. I wanted one with the clamp because there were some things I was doing where I wanted to check that. Just know when you use the clamp, you got to isolate the hot from the neutral. But it came with some cool plugs and stuff. Not a bad way. And Kevin says a clamp isn't, you know, clamp's a nice way. And nice when you're checking the amps, nice way to do it. Remember, wattage is volts times amps. So it's just, that's an easy math equation. Justin says, non-contact voltage sensor, or otherwise known here as the touch of death. And you got to be careful. Their standard circuits are 240. Yes, that's in your area that you run a little more voltage. In the United States, we step that down for most things that they run at 120, 15 or 20 amps, depending on the circuit that you're running on. Dryers, your stove and air conditioners run at 240 here in the U.S. 240 into the house and it's split into your box, in most of the breakers are 120. So, Justin, if you do stick your tongue on the end to see if it's live, that is one way to do it. Yeah, that's one way to do it. So a couple cool toys. I'll have links in the show notes for those. They work for me. Certainly there's better wire strippers and there are much better clamps. I don't use them enough to really justify the more expensive ones. Those worked just perfect for me. And Brian says, and I'm here with the mid 60s Simpson multimeter. I had one from the 80s that I think I got in the late 80s that was really, really old. Justin says 10 amps. Well, your voltage is so high, right? So volts times amps is watts. You're running a ton of watts, the higher the amperage, right? So your air conditioner is, let's just say a standard condenser on your home air conditioner here in the United States, probably 80 amps to start it. And then it settles into maybe, you know, somewhere between 8 and 20 amps. Well, that's a start, you know, of 20,000 watts, 25,000 watts. Now it's on the grid for just a second. It's not very long, but it's a lot of amps. So it's been all the work I've been doing is figuring out how to get, we're going to have Uyghur on here in a couple weeks, and he and I are going to talk about a soft start for the air conditioner. He wanted to get one. I don't know if he got one. I got one. I installed it. We'll talk more about doing a soft start on your air conditioner. That brought the amperage from 80 amps down to 18 amps at start, and it settles in around 12. So it means I need about 4,500 watts of power to get that thing going. Well, my generator is 5,000 running and 6,500 peak. So I'm right at the edge on that, and I may need to get a bigger generator if I hope to run that air conditioner in the summer when we lose power. Got a little bit of work to do. We'll cover that more when Uyghur comes on and talk a little bit about it. But certainly those two, that the clamp or the multimeter and the wire strippers have been invaluable in doing some of that kind of work. Where I lack is we needed to bring 6-gauge wire into the house for the generator. We're going to run it to 50 amps. And these don't cut it. I didn't want to buy a whole new pair for just one set of wires to put in there, but these were a struggle. We're going to get it done, although I should probably just get a pair of strippers that can handle that big of a gauge of wire. So good stuff, very helpful tools, and something to think about. You know, it's super helpful on the wiring side, especially when it can be so dangerous. I spent some time upgrading our deck lighting. We had put some rope lighting in there, standard white only. I didn't go with the colored versions. You get four kind of you get a little remote with it. We get four standard colors out of it. And the kids were like, "Dad, why don't you extend that out to the fire pit?" And so this last weekend with Thanksgiving coming up and the kids coming over, I was like, okay, maybe it's time we'll bring that back up. Maybe it's time that we extend that lighting. One of the cool things about this kind of lighting with the deck here, one, it's super easy. You've got a transformer that plugs into a standard here in the U.S., a standard outlet. It's going to step that lighting down a little bit. It's got an on-off switch in the transformer. And then it's going to run those lights down. Super efficient lighting, the rope lighting. I had like Christmas lights on the deck for a while. And here we got a wide shot of that. We'll put in there. You can see the fire pit in the back. One of the best. It was, you know, they were $35 for 24 feet, so not the cheapest thing in the world. You can see that goes on the right side. That's three strands, and that's the max that the power amplifier or the step down would handle is three. They'll all be on one controller, and then on the left side there, you can see that's just one. Sorry, the deck's kind of a mess. It had been raining, so we'd cleared out the furniture, but you can see now it goes. Before it just went out to the end of the steps. Now it goes all the way out to the end of the fire pit. And it is, it lights it up a little bit. $70 US to get the next, you know, 50 feet of it out there, which, you know, Joe says he needs some 10-2 Romex. Yikes on the cost. Yeah. Wiring is super expensive right now. The 6-gauge wire, I bought some 6-2 wire to run this generator thing. 15 feet, $70. So it's it's tough. Dan, hey, thanks for checking in. Thanks for coming out. Good to see you tonight. Appreciate that. So that was an easy, man. That was a nice upgrade. Take it out of the box, plug it into the end. It's like Christmas lights, but a little more rugged. We had used Christmas lights on the deck. You know, at the end of the year, you can buy those things cheap. They didn't last very long. I think these are going to be out there for a while, and you get a good shot at the end of the deck. This is what we, when we're out working on a fire pit. I should have started a fire, but I took this picture tonight, and didn't look back. So pretty cool little lighting. And man, yeah, it's not the cheapest thing in the world, but man, lighting has just come such a long way, and a little bit can make a big difference in what you're doing out there. So that is in, I got that done. I've been telling the kids I've been going to be doing that for a while, and just never got it done. I was like, you know what? I'm going to the store. I don't know about you guys, but my honey-do list is pretty long. So I was like, okay, I just got to get that thing done and out. So pretty cool. One of the cool things about lighting now is, I think in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7, 8 years, the smart aspect of it's gotten really good. The remotes are pretty cool. And just the options. I could have went with color. It was twice as much. So it would have cost me, you know, $140 to get that much. And I just didn't know if I would use the colors out there. I did some of the things where you can get them flashing or streaming and rolling around. And the kids were like, stop it, Dad. just put a color on and leave it. It's just fine. And so it is, yeah, yeah, it we're going to leave it as is. Tony said, last time, I bought wire, I realized I needed to look at the bottom of the rack and buy the larger box at a much lower overall cost. And yeah, if you buy the box stuff, sometimes it can be cheaper than the stuff they have already cut and wrapped up above. I needed just a small section of something, and I ended up going to our Ace Hardware, and they cut it custom for you by length. Now, if you're buying a lot of wire, that's the expensive way to do it. But I needed like 18 inches, so it was actually more economical just to go pick it that way. So, John, we haven't talked about Black Friday. Some of this stuff may be on Black Friday, so I'm going to talk about Black Friday here in just a second. So hang tight. And so, and then Justin says, we're just about finished with the fire pit pizza oven area. Should be finished this weekend. Good for you with the pizza oven and lighting installed next week. It's only taken 3 years. It took me 7 years to get what you saw in the picture there. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Pretty bad. It took me a long time. I still kind of add to it. I think I'm done, though. I shouldn't have said that. But I think I am for a while. Little tweaks here and there, but for the most part, I think we're just going to burn wood and have a good time out there. All right. Last but not least, next Friday, as we're talking, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, next Friday, Black Friday, for sales. We won't do a guide. There's plenty of that stuff. There's a lot of folks that do that. Maybe the guys over at thinkcomputers.org have, Bob and Ryan over there. One of the things I've noticed, though, there's been a few items that I follow on a regular basis that haven't gone up in price a lot. You know, we've had this kind of run with high inflation, and there's been some things that I've been noticing on Honey or Slick Deals that haven't seemed to have gone up. And some of that are tools. Like I follow, you know, DeWalt tools on Slick Deals. And so just about every day, it seems like I get deals for tools. Now, maybe they're making the tools cheaper. They're the cheaper versions of what they were before, same price. That's very, very possible. But I haven't seen the huge run-up, at least in some of the stuff I follow. That may be something you want to take a look at before that kind of stuff catches up. It also seems like there's a glut of it out there. You know, you go to any big box store and you see tons of DeWalt and Milwaukee and Black & Decker and you know, fill in the blank, right, with your brand. With the advent here in the United States, of course, of Harbor Freight, they have their own brand and they're running cheap. Just seems like some of those power tools, and maybe the drills and the impact stuff that I'm looking at, but I haven't seen a huge run up. Now, that's not on everything. I'm sure there's some tools that have gotten crazy, and I know they have, but as you're thinking about your tool set, now may be a good time to look. Either they haven't moved very much or they might be getting ready to move in some regards. So now might be a good time. if you're before I go here, if you're looking for something on Black Friday, if you got some suggestions, throw it in chat. We'll cover those right now before I go. But that is just one of those. That's one of those things that I have been. I've kind of had my eyes on, and Ryobi is another one of those. Tony said he had to use his Ryobi power drain, and that's Augur yet again last night. Invaluable. Tony, we had a situation while you guys are throwing in chat what you're looking for Black Friday. I'll tell you the story. So we had one night last week, Sarah was like, hey, the drain, we have a down here in the basement, we've got a laundry sink and it backs into the drain. And so if the drain backs up, it'll drain into the sink first before it goes onto the floor. And that was just, it just gets so messy when it does that. So I had it going into the sink. Well, I'm on a call at work. It's like Friday. Sarah's running some laundry and I hear water just splashing. And I thought, man, the washing machine's gotten really loud all of a sudden. Like, I wonder if something's wrong with this. I didn't pay attention. Then I poked my head around. All of a sudden, poked my head around. And it is literally Niagara Falls over the laundry tub, just pouring out water. And there's a garbage can underneath it that we keep there. That's quickly filled up and is spilling over. I mean, it's just... The it was completely plugged. And so we shut it off and I was like, now fortunately there's the floor drains right by the laundry. And so it just went, the plug was between it was before the wash or after the washer, but before going out. So the floor drain worked to get rid of it, but it was still plugged up. So I have a 15 foot auger that I use, just, and it's got, you put a drill on the end and you throw it down there. That cleared it. But, I'd like a little more industrial version of one. So maybe Tony, I'll look out for that as something to have. It's in this old house and, we try to keep the drains clear, but so anyways, the drain, it's super helpful to have an auger available for you. One of the smart things I did was the area that gets jammed up most frequently, I put a clean out at I put a pipe that's a clean out that is at chest level, so I don't have to, it always seems like your clean outs are on the floor, hidden away in a corner somewhere, you can't get to them, you have to open them up, and the clean outs seem to be flat on the pipe, so you open it and stuff just comes out. I built a clean out that's actually comes up and it kind of gets away. So even if the water's overflowing, the clean out itself, it's not come spilling out of the clean out in most cases. So that, put that down there, grind it out, and makes for, like I said, in these old houses, it kind of makes it a little bit easier. Brian says, the concept of Black Friday has changed a lot, right? Each store seems to have its own bargain days. Yeah, they start earlier. It's not like it used to be, or you go out on that morning and there's all these deals, these physical deals. There seems to be less and less, there seems to be less and less of that kind of going on. And now it seems like they have Black Friday in July, right? I see those Black Friday in July. Brian's got a hint. He says, tools stay cheap because they make money on the replacement batteries. And that's true, right? It's like the razors and the blades. Idea. Yeah. Have you bought a battery? And be careful. Not all batteries are made the same. Some of these deals you find on eBay are such, they're fake batteries. So just be careful with that. Brian says his Black Friday was the ISP speed increase. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Was that Twitter that we saw that on, Brian? I think it was. Yeah. You got that for sure. And then let's see. Then we lost the mic. It's back. All right. Well, hopefully, there are deals going on right now. Hopefully, maybe get some Christmas shopping to do. It doesn't seem like it used to be, but maybe there are things. Joe mentions And this has been good. I'm sure I'll talk to Mike about this. Bitcoin's just brushing the $100,000. It's crazy. It's been good. The best thing I ever did was nothing with Bitcoin. I have literally done, that's not true. I've sold some on Coinbase over the years, but I've always left it on Coinbase. And then a couple years ago, I didn't want to mess with taxes with it anymore. So put half of it on Bitcoin and half of it on Ethereum, and I just let it sit there. I was like, I'm not going to touch this again. That wasn't a bad decision. So we'll have to see. It continues to grow. And as always, now is not the time to get started. I'm sure it will pull back at some point. That's just ridiculous. That is just dumb. I'm sure it will pull back at some point, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see where it goes. So lots. John says he wished he had done that. Yeah, I don't get lucky that often, but not doing something is the right thing to do. Who would have known? Who would have thunk it would be where it is today? Well, gents, we will, thanks for coming out tonight. We'll circle back around next week. Like I said, we're on Friday instead of Thursday next week. Sammy will be here to fill you in. She's got a new job. She had the accident, and she's buying a new car. So we're going to have a lot to talk about with her, catch up on all those things. Christian will join us on December 5th, and that's the 14-year anniversary of Home Gadget Geeks, Home Tech before that. So he'll be joining us. And then on the 19th, John Biggs will be joining us. He's there in chat, and he'll be joining us. I've got some room for others. And we'll get those schedules. We'll get Aaron in here again, and we'll get Bob and Ryan back after CES, which is coming up. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. If you're listening to the podcast, you're like, man, he got that done. Yeah, not too bad. It'll be 55 minutes for you, maybe, or something like that. And thanks for coming out. If you want to join us live, I'll do a little bit of a post show, but there's some stuff still coming in. We'll chat a little bit in the post, but come out and join us Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Big thanks to Christian over there, Maple Grove Partners. Of course, you know, secure, reliable, high-speed hosting. They host this show, and they host many others. And if you're looking for anything, if you need hosting in any kind of way, check it out, MapleGrovePartners.com. If you want to join our Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/discord, Patreon is at theaverageguy.tv/patreon, and I am here right now, not planning on going anywhere. We'll be back on Friday, and for those of you listening live, stay around for some post show. For those of you listening to the podcast, thanks for doing that. Appreciate you listening. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.